Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Staff and Graph Podcast.
This is weird. My lock's been drilled, so I open the door and my steering wheel is missing.
And links are salad.
You know, you're trying very hard not to get sued.
You can have all the talent in the world skating around, but if you don't have a goaltender, it does not matter.
Team Tidy Business, baby. Happy deadline, Rachel.
Happy deadline.
Happy deadline. Here we are.
Pencils down, everyone.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy. Look, this was shaping up to be maybe not the most electric deadline day we've ever had, you know, like it was shaping up to be, you know, Tyler Toffoli went and that was fine. And, you know, we just had a couple like Kuznetsov
got dealt. And
we knew that it was going to be like,
But Hanifin got traded. Gensel got traded last night. So we're like, oh, what's going to happen today?
Tanev got traded even before.
James Duthie Tarasenko needs to send a gift basket to Kelly McCrimmon.
Yeah.
And like then, a whole gift basket.
At the end of the, like, buzzer beater.
258.
Just under 3 minutes left in deadline day. Hoomps steps up at the free throw, or at the three line, but it's Bob McKenzie who hits the deepest possible three, a buzzer beater, in basically blowing everyone out of the water and breaking the Thomas Hertl to Vegas trade that nobody saw coming.
I love, one, Thomas Hertl, not in a single rumor, but yeah. I love the fact that Bob McKenzie came out of retirement. He comes out of retirement for like 2 days a year, mm-hmm. right? It's the like free agent frenzy and it's trade deadline that he really comes like out of retirement, does a full day of TV. Sometimes he does his draft rankings or whatever. This man comes out of retirement and drops the bomb of bombs. Like, unreal, this guy. Yeah. Absolutely unreal.
Just an unbelievable, like, and we're, so what we're gonna do is, because we're not a regular podcast, we're a cool podcast, but like, you're gonna get all the breakdowns from Freege or, you know, from like the Dangle clan and whatnot. So we're gonna obviously like rip through a bunch of the big trades for the contenders and obviously let you know, but then we're gonna have a Cam Torque deep dive on a bigger conversation about the deadline, namely that everyone is pooping all over Vegas right now because they think they're pulling loopholes when they're not. And we want to have a conversation about that.
Yeah, we want to talk about pearl clutching.
Exactly. But let's start, I guess, by getting through some of these
good
big
week,
moves.
Bad week.
And mainly, yeah, so what I'm going to do is I'm basically going to go through some of the moves that the big contenders made. And Rachel's going to tell me if they had a good week, because, you know, some of these moves happened earlier from today, or if they had a bad week. And we're going to start with Florida. You know, the team that I would say the runner up, the silver medalist from last season, if you will, they added Vladimir Tarasenko and Kyle Okposo for basically just draft picks, and both didn't go for much at all. Specifically Tarasenko, I know he kind of handcuffed the Ottawa Senators a bit there with his no movement clause, but that was a lot less than a lot of people were thinking. Good week or bad week?
I would say trades only, decent week. Mm-hmm. When you add in the Gustav Forsling extension, excellent week for the Florida Panthers.
Dude, that guy should be making $7 million
a year. 8 years, 5 something?
587, I believe.
587, yeah.
That's
okay.
Crazy.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Like, him being under six is bonkers.
Oh, it completely
I have no idea how they did that.
No. So they had an excellent week. They had a decent trade week. Then you add in the Forsling extension. That's a tidy piece of business for Bill Zito. Well done.
So I think, yeah, and look, even, and I know we want to get through this quick, but even with just Okposo and Tarasenko, I do think it's a good week based on the price they gave up.
Even you look at it now, Nick Cousins isn't on the second line. That's Tarasenko's mm-hmm. spot. Nick Cousins moves down to the fourth line. Kyle Okposo is also going to be on that fourth line and with Ryan Lomberg. That is not going to be enjoyable.
That's that's an extremely annoying fourth line.
Right, but then you have Kyle Okposo is at least going to be like that line's dad to like sort of maybe keep them from being rats. But then you've got, like, when everyone gets pushed down the lineup now, you look a lot better. And they didn't give up Anton Lindell for anything. So you've got Barkov, Lindell, you got Reinhardt, Verhaeghe, Tkachuk. Now you got Tarasenko. That top six is a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. So,
that is a problem.
Yeah, good week for Florida.
Absolutely. All right. Tampa didn't really do anything. They got Anthony Duclair and Matt Dumba. To be fair, the Matt Dumba trade, they basically got him for free. They got they got him in a seventh for a fifth in 2026, I believe.
So piece of chicken.
Or 2027. So I would rather get kicked in the nuts than get trade for a, they get traded for a fifth in 2027. Like, that is more disrespect than if
Malcolm
Subban
got traded for future considerations.
I would even take future considerations, because at least there's like that could turn into something. Will likely be a seventh, but it could turn into a something.
It actually usually
next year,
means a
whatever.
Pack of gum.
Yeah. But like, being especially because the Coyotes 2 weeks ago were asking for a first.
Yeah, that's
which is
what a fall from grace.
Exactly.
That was.
Well, it's funny, like, this deadline, and I know we'll get into this quick, I know, but like, this deadline, from everything that you can just see online, but also from what I had heard, it went from being a seller's market to a buyer's market like that. Like, yeah. It flipped on a dime.
Calgary flipped that right on a dime.
Basically, once Tanev went and they saw the price of that, everything changed. And even then, once Gensel went, everything changed, because I had heard that the Leafs were in on Toffoli, but the price was extremely high. One, they didn't want to make, well, didn't want to pay. Then Gensel goes for no, like, legit first, and everything changed. Then now Toffoli went for a second and third.
And Buchnevich didn't even get traded.
Exactly. Though it's crazy. But yeah, Tampa, look, I don't hate this.
It's a bad week for Tampa.
But it's a bad week.
It's, yeah. Yeah. When you are where you are with Tampa, your window is closing. It's not going to be open forever. Mm-hmm. You have to continue to be all in. I don't think they did enough. I like the addition of Duclair. Dumba's arguably their third best defenseman right now, given that Zdrychev is out. That's a problem.
Yeah.
I don't think they did enough. So I'm going to go bad week for Tampa.
Bad week. All right. We go to Boston. Where they're going to have quite the interesting reunion between Jack Edwards and Pat Maroon. They got Pat Maroon and they got Andrew Peak. So two not huge deals. However, there did seem to be a huge deal that was nixed by Linus Allmark. We don't know where he's going to go. Now we had basically Frank Saravalli said that it might have been to L.A.
Sources would indicate that it was not L.A.
Wow.
I've also, while I understand that people think that there is a fit for Dubois in Boston, no. I don't buy that for a single second, because Boston is a culture organization before they are a we need a center organization. You saw, like, management tried to sign Mitchell Miller and Patrice Bergeron was like, absolutely not happening.
I was in that locker room the day after they signed Mitchell Miller. Let
me
tell you,
they were going to revolt.
They were pissed. Like,
and then,
yeah.
So Pierre-Luc Dubois, like, I'm not going to make any comments about his character, but Boston's not.
It's not great.
Boston's not the kind of team that is going to trade a Vezina caliber goaltender for a guy who's asked out of two spots and is now absolutely dog shit in his third. Like, that doesn't fit the Boston MO.
Yeah.
And when Pierre-Luc Dubois is playing well, he is a beast.
Absolutely.
He's an impact player.
That's
the
why he's valued so high. Yeah.
He never plays well consistently. And so Boston, I'm not going to say good week or bad week. I'm going to say extremely funny week.
Yeah.
Because Jack Edwards, Pat Maroon is the only thing I care about now.
Yeah. And look, I don't want to.
Did you see Brian Boyle's tweet? He's like, Brian Boyle, if you don't know, used to play in the NHL. But like, he goes, Jack Edwards will be picking up Pat Maroon at Boston Logan
Airport.
That would be
amazing. They should make him do it. Like, they should be like, freaking get it back. Like, mend that bridge, you know. But another thing with Dubois before we go, move on, is that, and I didn't really feel the need to tweet out a tweet about some guy's negative internal performance review, but I guess it's pretty potent. I guess it's relevant now, and that after McClellan was fired, Kings management sat Dubois down and basically like to have a very frank and serious conversation to basically say, hey, cut the shit, play well. You got everything you wanted. We're paying you a lot of money for a lot of years, and we gave up a lot for you. And you're not, like, the effort level, at least perceived effort level, is not there. The production is definitely not there. Cut the shit, play better. So that's
yeah, and that's
big.
Not even like an assailant on his character. That's just, no. Like, you're not playing well.
Yes. But it's also
be
like
better.
The perceived effort level and stuff is not great. Yeah. Now, why bring that up is I don't think Boston would want to take in a guy like that, especially right now.
No.
All right, moving on. Carolina. Oh yeah. So by the way, Boston. Good week or bad week?
Funny week.
Funny week.
Very funny. They get a funny week.
I tweeted about it today, but I don't know why Jack Edwards got into the hey pal. Your mom and I are going to be taking some time apart stance when he apologized to Pat.
Like, why are we squatting down as if I'm talking to my godson?
Like, he's squatting like he's talking to an infant, telling him that, like, sorry, man, your dad wasn't here to take you to the water park today. You know, that kind of thing. It's bad. All right. So funny week for Boston. Carolina had a very interesting week, and in my opinion, a good week. They got Jake Guentzel, and they didn't give up. They gave a conditional first, which only goes if they make the cup final. Or if they win the cup. I can't remember if it's
either
one.
Make the cup final.
Yeah. I would love to get your insight on the three prospects that they traded, which is Chaz Lucas and then two other dudes, or Lucius and two other dudes. And they also got, on top of that, Evgeny Kuznetsov at 50% retained for a third, which is actually more than I thought Kuznetsov at this stage of his career was going to go. But hey, man, like these are two very good ads, I believe.
And they waived Tony DeAngelo.
And Brendan Lemieux.
So it's a good week.
They can watch their tone in the AHL now, which is going
to
be good.
They need to, yeah, they can watch their tone or whatever they're doing. We're going to get into a little, like, this sort of trade a little bit more in our deep dive along with Vegas. We called Guentzel to the Canes on Monday.
Yeah.
We called that on the show. I brought up Marty Nichash as somebody, because I think Carolina's kind of getting ready to move on from him. But Michael Bunting makes a ton of sense. He's proven he can play with elite talent. Like, you look what he did with Austin Matthews. There's no reason he shouldn't do the same thing beside either Crosby or Malkin.
Other than Zach Hyman, he was the only winger to, like, actually stick with Marner and Matthews.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that a lot of people are lower on the return than they should be. Mm-hmm. And all that tells me is they don't pay attention to the prospects. And they don't understand that when your hands are tied because Jake Guentzel isn't willing to negotiate at all, you're highly unlikely to get a package that you think is fine. Vasily Ponomariov is probably Pittsburgh's third line center today. Like, I like him. He's third ceiling, probably second line wing, like if they needed some offensive zhuzh. Think Teddy Bluger, but if Teddy Bluger had dynamic offense.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, think Teddy Bluger and
like if he could contribute offensively. So Ponomariov is like good two-way player, reliable. I think he's a guy Rod Brindamore is really going to like. Ville Koivunen is
really good.
Top six upside. He is having one of the best junior, like U21 seasons in Liga history right now. So obviously Liga is not the best. You'd prefer he'd be playing in the SHL, but this kid had a fantastic World Juniors. Mm-hmm. He was absolutely like just tearing up his Liga season. He's a really intriguing prospect. And then you've got Cruz Lucius.
Yeah. Chaz's brother.
Chaz's little brother. Smart, playmaker. I think he could probably be like a third line winger that produces kind of offensively. They put it this way. Pittsburgh's prospect pool was almost Zippo. And
they had three legit guys.
And there's like three legitimate prospects. Yeah. They're probably like the second, third, and fourth best prospects in that pool. Maybe Owen Pickering's in there somewhere. Obviously, Braden Yeager is at the top of that list. But I actually think it's kind of shrewd business by Dubas, because there's no sense in getting draft picks. Those guys are never going to be ready on time to play with Crosby. Ponomariov can play today.
Yeah.
Koivunen probably is in the AHL next year. We don't know about Cruz Lucius, but those guys are a lot.
And Bunting's in the NHL right now.
He's going to be his new, like, Sid, that's your new line mate. Like, the players Dubas acquired are a lot closer to actually playing than the pieces of chicken draft picks that he could have acquired. So I actually don't have a ton of problem with the return that Pittsburgh got. Kuznetsov is 50% retained, so he's $3.9 million next year. Only cost them a third rounder. I like that Carolina is willing to take a swing, because they kind of need some depth there. And if Kuznetsov hits, like even if he's 60% of the player he once was, that's a win.
Absolutely.
That's a win. Right. And so, I mean, it's not like Carolina doesn't take reclamation projects. Tony DeAngelo, Brendan Lemieux, like they have a history of doing it. And I think that's probably because they're so confident in Rod Brindamore as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
to be able to get the most out of Kuznetsov. And he's coached him in an all-star game, which obviously doesn't mean anything, but Rod Brendamore had great things to say about Kuznetsov, so I bet you he's probably pretty excited about it. And a third round pick, like, what do we...
It's nothing.
Who cares?
I'm surprised they got that much for him, because obviously he wasn't at 50% retained, but he cleared waivers like the other day. You know, like, there's clearly some baggage there when it comes to it, like, for good, for better or for worse, you know. And it's great that he cleared the NHLPA assistance program. That means he's happy and he's healthy and in a good state of mind. I think they're going to get, I think, the best version that's left, really, of Evgeny Kuznetsov. And that's great. At 50% retained, at 3.9,
it's a completely low risk move.
If he's a 50 point guy, that's great. All right. Edmonton Oilers.
So, yeah, excellent week for the Canes.
Excellent week for the Canes. Edmonton, and also on the Canes too, with Guentzel. It just got that. I think the reaction to that package is the shining example of how people view a first round pick as an asset. Because even if that first round pick was guaranteed, the Canes, like, they will likely make or at least come close to the cup. That's going to be like the 26th, 27th overall pick.
Yeah. Which
is that really
well
that much different
second.
Than being like than being a second rounder?
No.
I don't think so. So
the actual pick value. So I went and I looked. Yeah. The actual pick value of where the Canes drafted Ponomariov and Koivunen and Lucius actually adds up to be more pick value than a late first would be.
Wow.
So you could actually make a legitimate argument that they did better than a first round pick, especially given the fact that this is a weak draft.
Mm-hmm.
I would far rather, and I was having this discussion with somebody earlier today, I'd far rather have those pieces than a late first. Like,
yeah.
I think the combo of those pieces is far more valuable.
Absolutely. All right. The Edmonton Oilers. They basically, what they needed is they needed a defenseman. They needed a defenseman, and they got Troy Stetcher, I guess.
Yep.
So that's fine. But they needed someone up front too. They needed a top six guy or at least someone, a top nine guy, I would say.
A contributing player. Not a cardio merchant.
Yes. Yes. Definitely not a cardio merchant, but a forward that can toggle in any of the top three lines, I would say.
Yeah.
And they got that in Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick, I guess, who fought in his first game. So good for him. But they paid a first and conditional fourth that turns into a third if Edmonton wins the cup this year. So that will be a fourth, pretty definitively. And so, I think this was what the Oilers needed to do.
Yeah, I think that they maybe should have inquired about Thomas Hertl, which we'll get to, because it doesn't seem like they gave up that much less for Adam Henrique than Vegas did for Teenage Mutant Ninja Hurdle.
And this is a rental, right?
Like, yeah.
Henrique is a UFA, so.
And so, that would have been interesting. Could you imagine Thomas Hurdle playing with McDavid? Oh, that would be fun. I like the addition of Adam Henrique. I like the trade when it was made. It makes sense for Edmonton, but I will always say this. They do not need more forwards. They need defensemen because they have nobody outside of Ekholm and Bouchard who can actually play NHL defense capably. Now, Troy Stetcher comes in. That's a low-risk move. I actually don't mind that because he's got good defensive metrics.
Yes.
I worry about his ability, given how small he is, to last in the West.
Hey, man, he's 5'10".
Yeah, well, you know what? And we're going to get here
in a
second.
I'm 5'10". You're saying I can't last in the West?
What top four would you rather have? Would you rather have Ekholm, Bouchard, Nurse, and Stetcher? Or Theodore, Petrangelo, Hanifin, and Martinez?
Yeah, I'm going to need to take a little bit of time to think on that one. No, you're right. Like, it's they did pay a premium, and obviously they paid that first because... Or at least it was upgraded to a first, I guess, because it was Henrique is at 50% retained and he was making 5.87, I believe, or something like that.
Yeah, so now he's there for two something.
Yeah, so that's good. Listen, when you're the Oilers and you have Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid,
you have to go all in.
Exactly. And look, they maybe didn't go all in because...
No, they definitely didn't.
Because I think Edmonton, they should have been pounding down the door.
For Alex Carrier, for...
But the Preds were not going to sell. They bought... They got Jason Zucker and they re-signed a bunch of people.
Sean Walker, though.
But I'm talking like they should have been pounding on the door for Sean Walker. They should have tried to pry Nick Seeler out of there. Which, and credit to Philly, man, Nick Seeler's initial ask, like what I was told, was around four. And they got him down
it was higher.
Really? They got him down to 2.7.
Which is still too much money, but
No, but like
acceptable.
It, the cap's going up anyway. Like a 2.7 is not acceptable. A big deal.
But that's why I said
it's crazy. It's So Edmonton, good week, bad week, or I guess we can do a third one if you want.
Fine.
Middling week, like a,
yeah, they have the same week. You know what? Similar to Tampa. Week. Fine, not enough.
I don't even
the difference between Edmonton and Tampa is that Tampa has won two cups.
Yes, definitely.
So they get a pass. Edmonton does not. I think given what we now saw, like, why couldn't you do the Tyler Toffoli deal?
No, absolutely.
Like that.
Why couldn't any team do that? Why couldn't, and we'll get to them. Why couldn't the Leafs do that?
Well, I think part of this was
they don't have a second
salary
but...
is yeah, that's the true. Big one, right? Edmonton was always going to have to send salary out. And so was Toronto. So it's a little different. But
you can find a way to make that work.
You could have found a way. Easily, you
absolutely
could have found a way.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so hey, at least they have their first.
It's a fine week.
We'll get into that. Colorado. They made some, look, they didn't do what Vegas did, but they still made some great moves here. They got Sean Walker, Yakov Trenin, one of my favorite names in the league. Anyone named Yakov, I love that. And Brandon Duhaime to Colorado. They also were able to get rid of Ryan Johansson, who was just an absolute disaster. And apparently there was friction in the locker room because of him.
Yes.
I don't know how that happened. On top of that, too, they also got Casey Mittelstadt. We didn't even have here for Bo and Byram. And we'll get into that on more of a deep dive, I think, on Monday's show.
Yeah, we're going to do a deep dive into like young players switching places and like what it could possibly mean for both teams.
Because that was a what the fuck trade to me. Like, I saw that.
Did you see my tweet? Now that they had, so they acquired Sean Walker, and I was like, okay, now that they have Walker, like, and they got rid of Johansson, look for them to acquire middle six help. Literally my tweet, and then the tweet like one above me a minute and a half later was Kevin Weeks saying that they'd acquired Mittelstadt, and someone was like, did you know? And I was like, no comment.
I cannot believe that they traded Bowen Byram.
I was shocked.
I can't believe it. Like, that was a what the fuck trade for me, where I was just like, really? Like, they, and look, Casey Mittelstadt is great. He's exactly what they need.
I'm not sure he's exactly what they need.
Okay.
Again, Thomas Hurdle.
Yeah. Well, now that we know that he was available, maybe he was only made available to like, we don't know.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't want to trade Hurdle in my division if I could avoid it.
That's true.
So like, I guess I wonder, from that perspective, sort of what was going on, because Casey Mittelstadt is not your second line center. If you're a cup winning team, like, that's your third line center. That's your contributing, like, you know how we talk about three scoring lines? Casey Mittelstadt is Colorado's Shane Pinto type of thing. Mm-hmm. So I still think they didn't do enough in the 2C hole. But love the addition of Sean Walker. Love that they were able to get out from under Ryan Johansson. Mm-hmm. Sean Walker, like, he transitions the puck well. He's great as, like, a fourth man up in the rush. So I look at this, he's got a good defensive stick, he wins his puck battles, he's going to be a perfect depth guy for them, right? And so that's solid. And then you got Yakov Trenin. Yakov Trenin on your second line, no dice. Yakov Trenin on your fourth line, big time dice, love that.
Big time dice. So what do we say?
Pretty good week.
Pretty good week? Okay, just pretty good. All right.
Pretty good week.
We obviously have Byram for Mittelstadt, we talked about that. Now, okay, no, we're going to say Vegas to the end, we'll go to Winnipeg. Toffoli and Monahan. Monahan obviously was dealt many weeks ago, so I don't even think we should include him in this. But basically, getting Toffoli.
Yeah, they saw what Dallas and Colorado did. Obviously, Dallas with Chris Tanev. And they pushed some chips in, which is very unlike Kevin Sheveldayoff. But I like it. I mean, Toffoli and Monahan played with the 67s together. Then they played in Calgary together. They've played their best hockey together. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a natural fit on that second line there. I like the fact that Kevin Sheveldayoff wasn't pearl clutching. He said, you know what? Screw it. I have a goaltender who's going to win the Vezina. Mark Scheifele somehow figured out how to play defensively, which is like absolutely shocking. Kyle Connor's having a down year and is still probably going to...
He's still producing, at least.
Yeah. Nikolai Ehlers looks fantastic. So now you're in a situation where you can run a top six. You can do Ehlers, Scheifele, Connor, Monahan, Toffoli, Iafallo, Perfetti... I don't even know who you do after that, but like, you're pretty thrilled.
You have a combination of like Nemesnikov still in there.
Kupari,
Appleton, guys.
Adam Lowry is the other one.
You have a lot of
good guys. You could even put Perfetti on the wing, honestly, and have that third line. So they're going to have three scoring lines. Their D is interesting. They got Colin Miller as well. And I like Colin Miller. He's going to be a good stopgap for them. Neil Pionk has not been good this year. Josh Morrissey's been fantastic. It gives them some depth there. I'd say Winnipeg had a pretty good week.
Yeah. All right. And then I will save my gripes for our deep dive. But the Leafs, and they got basically,
bad week.
They got Labushkin. Yes.
Bad week.
I would say like.
Bad week.
No, nightmare week, in my opinion. I don't care how many boomers think that Joel Edmondson's going to be a difference maker. He's
going to get suspended now that he plays.
Yeah.
For the Leafs,
absolutely.
Just so we're clear.
He's going to get 100%.
1,000%.
So, yeah. The Leafs get, I mean, if we want to include it, Labushkin, who, you know what, has been great since they got him. Okay. Let's make that clear. If you look at his numbers
I've been a little preoccupied this week.
He's been over 60% expected goals in every game he's played for the Leafs.
Excellent.
That's all you need.
Perfect.
Great for him.
Has he taken any stupid penalties?
I don't think so.
Excellent.
There you go.
Has he cross-checked people in front of the net?
No, but Jake McCabe did.
Oh, I did. Did see that. So now the Leafs.
You did see that.
I did see that. Yeah. So now the Leafs.
God done seen that.
I done seen it. So now the Leafs have their cross checks in front of the net per 60.
They can't get away with anything.
Skyrocketing.
Yeah, that's great. Their penalties per 60 is going to go up crazy too. Like you can't.
Okay, but
I get it. Yeah.
If you cross check somebody 100 times, you're probably only going to get called like. Two or three times.
No, they'll change the rules where you can get called six.
But now
times.
They have somebody. Okay, so the pairings are what? Riley.
I don't even know.
Oh God, it's gonna be Riley Edmondson, isn't it?
No, it's gonna be Riley Labushkin.
Okay, so you got Riley Labushkin.
You're right back to 2022.
Then you could do Brody Edmondson. I don't know. I'm deliriously tired right now.
Brody Edmondson. Yeah,
and then you've got McCabe, Benoit, and then
Liljegren. You didn't even mention Liljegren, and that is. Something that I had heard, and it kind of surprised me, but then I thought about it and didn't really surprise me too much.
He was so good with Brody.
Yeah. I had heard a lot of Liljegren rumblings leading up into the deadline. Sort of him being used in lieu of that 2024 first that they don't want to trade, or to recoup another first, kind of how they did with Sandin. I'm putting it here now. He's gone in the summer. Like the Liljegren, his internal stock in the Leafs.
He would have to win the Conn Smythe to stay. Yeah. Like
his internal stock within the Leafs organization has really fallen in the last 2 years. This year being included. And I was hearing, I just didn't think that they would sell a guy like this. I mean, I guess it would be for a bigger package.
You never know with depth, right? I mean, like you saw, and let's be honest, like. You can think what you think. He had a good stretch with Brody, so he's an NHL defenseman. Like
he's great.
Not, yeah. So here's in the playoffs, you need more than 60.
Yes.
You probably need 9.
The Canucks.
And they lost Lagesson on waivers today.
Yes. Who's going to be like Anaheim's third D at this point? Like
yikes! But like if Liljegren or honestly Edmondson is your seventh, or Labushkin is your seventh, like fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But, like, Liljegren brings a little bit more offensively, very obviously. But the one thing I think that is super underrated about Joel Edmondson is he can move the puck.
Yes.
He's not like Labushkin. No. He can act, which is why I think if we're picking a seventh defenseman out of those three, it's Labushkin.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you have McCabe, Benoit, and Edmondson, all of whom are capable of cross-checking people in front of the net. So, fine. Now you need some puck movers. You've got Brody. You've got Riley.
Mm-hmm.
If you can have Liljegren in the lineup, that gives you 3 puck movers and 3 bruisers. That, I think, is manageable.
Absolutely.
But you can't sacrifice puck moving for cross-checking. That is not how things work. No. At least I hope.
All right.
Either way, nightmare week for the Leafs.
Nightmare week for the Leafs. Very bad. And then finally, we go to Vegas. And holy shit.
The house always wins.
This the best trade deadline a team has had in the salary cap era? When you think about it, based on what they sent out and then compared to what they added,
and considering where they are,
and considering where they are, they're the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Exactly. Like,
I think of, and I know it didn't result in a cup, but I think of when like the Pens acquired like Iginla and Morrow at the same time. Like that was really great. Obviously when the Avs loaded up on, you know, Manson and Lekkonen,
Kadri,
and I mean they got Kadri in the year before, but like 2 years ago.
Yeah, like they added that. That was like, when Nichushkin really took a step. Yes.
You know, but then I look at this and you get Thomas Hertl, Noah Hanifin, and Anthony Mantha, and what you give up is basically, you know, a couple firsts, like you give it two firsts, Edstrom, which is a top
another
prospect,
first,
so another first, but then. They also received 2/3 in this deal.
There's not a word for like. There's excellent week, and then there's
just like platinum, like
Grammy award winning week.
You know, it's just
you hit the perfect pair at the blackjack table absolutely. At the Aria that pays out 500-1.
Yeah,
like that's what you hit, and we're gonna talk about why Vegas was able to do this. In our deep dive, but Vegas is the clear-cut winner of the deadline.
Yeah.
Like, not even close.
Well, like, there's no one like, even
not
close.
Not even a competition.
Did anything surprise you from this deadline? I'm not talking...
Buchnevich not moving surprised me. I wouldn't...
Why? Like, what? Not why did it surprise you, but what I want to say is, why would they not trade him?
That's what I don't understand.
Are they trying
to... I understand why you didn't trade Parayko, because that contract is pretty difficult to move. Buchnevich is not difficult to move. I think that they wanted more, and when the market dried up, they were just like, okay, we're not selling him, right? I was surprised that Nashville bought. That seemed a little odd, although they're 9-0-1 in their last 10. So you could make the argument that they kind of earned it. In the sense of, like, they got their trip to U2 canceled at the Sphere, and they haven't lost a game since.
It's, you know, it's like the teacher canceled the pizza party, and so now they're on their best behavior.
Right.
And look at that.
Philip Forsberg is ripping it up lately. UC Soros, I believe, has, like, a 950 in the month of February,
he was having a very bad year up until... He was, like, a 904, so by his standards, very bad year. And I know that because I have him in fantasy, and he was suing me.
He has a 904, and that's better than, like... 15 teams average save percentage,
which is a
like
damning
New
indictment.
Would kill for 904.
And hey, we can talk a bit about New Jersey. Okay, my surprise before we get into our deep dive is New Jersey making zero sense, because I want to break down their logic here. So they get Jake Allen for a third, basically.
Before you do that, I want to shout out Kate Madigan, International Women's Day. She had a fantastic feature with Christine Simpson on what it's like. Like in her day to day, she's an AGM, but not in the traditional sense of the role. She's almost like a chief of staff. But I just wanted to shout out to her because I thought that feature was super cool, and it's super cool to see her highlighted because she deserves it, and she was rocking a purple jacket.
Hey,
we know how I feel about the color purple.
All right,
but awesome. Back to New Jersey.
We love women. All right, the females, terrific. All right, but I want to talk just a bit about the most of them. Most of the females, they're great. But the shocking lack of logic in how they operated this deadline, because the New Jersey Devils, they have about an 18% chance of making the playoffs right now. So it's not likely. And so obviously by trading,
they're not making the playoffs.
Yes. And so by trading Tyler Toffoli, that's a selling move. That's a concession move. He's a guy you can really get some good assets for. He has 26 goals in 61 games. That's phenomenal. It's like a 40 goal pace almost. Like you, that's a move that a team that's not making the playoffs makes to recoup assets. Earlier, the big report was that they had a trade on the table for Jacob Markstrom to solve their goaltending problems. Because a big reason why they are where they are right now is because they do not have a goaltender who can stop the puck at an NHL level or even an AHL level.
Yeah, really. I was going to say.
Like at all. They do not have any goaltending. Akira Schmid and Vitek Vanacek have both been.
And Nico Daws.
And Nico Daws. They've all been like three of the worst goaltenders in the league.
In fairness to Schmid and Daws, they're literal children.
Yes.
Like they're under 22.
So this is on Vanacek. And funny stat. And
he's hurt.
Yes. Right and there was a funny stat that was brought up that I saw on Twitter. And this was like maybe a month ago I saw it. But I'm assuming it hasn't changed since. Since New Jersey shut down Vitek Vanacek's favorite, I think it's Teppanyaki place.
Yeah.
His save percentage has gone from like a 915 to like an 860. And it's been over the course of like 12 months. Like, it's not like it's enough where it's like, I legitimately am thinking that this guy, like, they shut down his favorite Benihana basically. And he just like folded as an athlete.
The teppanyaki place
that is referenced in this. Yes,
because, I used to live like a 5-minute walk from there. Yeah. And we would go hang out with like the staff, because after New Jersey games, I wouldn't be done until like 1 or 2 in the morning. And Hibachi and this one family style Italian restaurant were like the only places other than bars that were open. And I'm not walking into a bar after a game with a suit on, like, mm-hmm. to get food because I'm hungry.
Yeah, you're not going to a bar for food at 1 a.m. after a game.
Exactly. Like, there's a bunch of degenerates. So I would always either go to Hibachi or to this other place called Napoli's.
And now that place is shut down, he's gone literally from like a 915 where people are like, oh, he's the answer, to like an 860. Like, it has been like a steep dip, and it's been over a very long sample size.
I'm ashamed to admit I found out that they shut down the Hibachi place, and I was almost in tears. I'm so upset.
So you can imagine what VTech is going through right now. So maybe we should be a little nicer to him, I think. But no, they've been very bad. Now, they apparently had a deal on the table for Jacob Markstrom.
And Murray Edwards nixed it.
Okay. But, you know, you do anything to make that work. You do anything. Like, Murray Edwards is nixing that. Cool. You add in another second, or you keep going, basically, because
no, Murray Edwards basically said you're not allowed to trade Jacob Markstrom, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Like, apparently he was like, he is not allowed to be traded regardless.
That's,
which is kind of nuts.
Extremely stupid. However, there are other
owners meddling is something I am all too familiar with. And like, yeah, I've actually sat in the room where like a GM has been like, we're going to do this. And the owner has been like, no. It's dude. You literally run like an investment firm. Like,
you know nothing about hockey. You can't do this. Yeah. There are other goalies available, you know, like before Nashville, and this was before they decided to make their buy, I guess.
You're telling me couldn't have gone out and gotten like Kakanen?
I was just going to say Kaapo Kakanen or anyone. Like, just what would you do if you offered the...
Is Jack Campbell worse?
Yes.
Then Nico Dawes and Akira, he's not worse than Vitek Vanacek. Right now,
I would say,
well, they're in the same conversation, but you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously,
there's term involved in that deal.
Yeah. Like, no, I don't.
So then you go to Boston.
Yeah. I'm not for a second suggesting they should have acquired.
So then you go to Boston, you go, we'll give you like straight up 2 firsts for Allmark or something. Like, who cares?
Or you give them one of your young defensemen.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to want. They're going to want one of Hughes or Nemec. You're obviously not going to give up Hughes because then Jack's going to like have a hissy fit. But, like, I could see Nemec making sense. You're getting, like, this is the thing. People are like, let's get into the deep dive. I don't want to give this guy up. He won the fucking Vezina last year. What do you think you're going to get for, like, what are we doing? It's like, Sidney Crosby, like, I don't know if I want to give up, like, my top prospect. He's a top 5 player of all time. Fuck off.
So, there is a report. Not a real report, but this betting, this like betting account came out the other day, like, and was legitimately like, you know, there's a lot of things to be in motion, but basically like Sidney Crosby's made it clear he wants to do right by Pittsburgh, but also like chase a cup, you know, and apparently like teams that he'd be willing to go to, it's like Colorado, I think maybe Vegas and Toronto. And I quoted that and I was basically like, hey, if Kyle Dubas trade Sidney Crosby to the Toronto Maple Leafs, I will tweet my social insurance number.
Yeah.
Like, I will legitimately, like, do...
Crosby, and this is the thing, is, like, if you know a single thing about Sidney Crosby, you are not tweeting things like that.
Yeah.
This man has been in a committed relationship for 15 years.
With the city of Pittsburgh.
And we've seen his fiance, like, twice.
Yeah.
In public. Like, he's quiet. He's private.
You're never going to hear it.
Like, first of all, anyone who is a rumor outside of, like, literally Rob Rossi, who has, like, direct lines to both Malkin and Crosby. If I don't hear it from Rob Rossi, I'm not buying it.
And even then...
I'm like, maybe not, because it's Crosby.
But even then, I don't think Crosby's going to give... Like, I know he's direct lines, but I don't think he's going to give them... Like, exactly. When Sidney Crosby resigns in Pittsburgh, we're going to hear about it from the team.
Yeah, July 1st at noon.
It'll be like, Sidney Crosby has taken Kyle Dubas to the woodshed... Hilarious. Anyway, let's get into that deep dive, I guess. So, obviously, Our deep dive is presented by Cantorque. Cantorque makes makes rugged, hardworking industrial tools for heavy equipment operators around the world. They're proudly Canadian and manufacture everything out of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada for heavy industry around the world. Their new website tells their story 20 years in the making. Visit Cantorque.com today and ask Colin for more details. Rachel, Vegas did exactly what they should have done.
I really should have worn my pearls today with all of the pearl clutching.
So you can clutch them.
That every other team did, because they somehow haven't learned.
Vegas is a real hockey team. Like Vegas, this is a team that wants to win the Stanley Cup. So they go, what can we do? And they to make that happen, and they do it.
Ruthless pursuit of excellence. Like, ruthless.
Exactly. They give up anything. And I know they were criticized a lot for maybe their lack of loyalty to
players.
To players, but
that ring looks
pretty nice. And also, players still love to play there. People like, because they want to live in Vegas, and it's a great, like, in the Vegas suburbs, they're awesome. But the big sort of consternation here is two things. A, the Vegas is in on everybody.
I'd also like this. To point out that Vegas does not have a hockey man running their cap.
No, they have. Don't they have the guy who made general manager?
He's not even the guy that's fully in charge.
Okay.
They have a guy above him who's he was a name partner at a law firm before he went to the Vegas.
Like a forensic accountant.
We're talking
basically
about like a real lawyer that is his specialty is in like exactly forensic accounting law kind of thing, like numbers.
They have
so they don't have a guy that's like, I know hockey players and therefore I'm the cap guy. Like a Claude Loiselle.
I was going to say Claude Loiselle. Yeah.
They have a lawyer who spent a ton of time learning the game and now is just absolutely ruthless.
Well, like the cap guy doesn't have to know about hockey. He just has to make the numbers work. The guy doesn't have to know, like, he doesn't have to know about systems or players.
He's, can this work?
It's just like, hey, these are the rules that we're operating within. Here's the numbers. Make it work.
And he, because he doesn't have the hockey man mentality, he's not afraid to get creative.
And boy, do they get creative. Now, Vegas, like IR and LTIR are different. IR, it counts against the cap. LTIR, it doesn't. There's a lot of sort of
machinations
here. However, at this moment, after Vegas got Thomas Hurdle, Vegas can activate off of LTIR and IR over nearly $18 million.
They will have over $105 million in active salary if they have a healthy roster in the playoffs.
Now, here's the thing.
People are hilarious.
People are freaking out about that. They're going, how is Vegas able to activate or able to sort of stack on IR and LTIR over $18 million? And you look, and then I go, wow, that's terrible. Yeah, they're doing that all to win. And then you look at the Arizona Coyotes, who have $23 million on LTIR, not IR and LTIR, on LTIR.
They have, guys that have retired.
Of guys who will never play another hockey game ever again.
Jake Voracek has said he's never playing again. Brian Little isn't allowed to do a contact sport anymore. And then
they have more. Let me check.
I'm pretty sure, they had Pavel Datsyuk at one point. They had Chris Pronger at one point. But
They had Chris Pronger while he was employed by the NHL.
So, and this is the bigger conversation about Vegas. You can be pissed off about how Vegas uses LTIR to their advantage, but what you really should be pissed off about is the fact that your team isn't willing to be as ruthless. There is nothing, unless you're the Coyotes or a team that doesn't want to spend to the cap, but if you're the Leafs, the Canucks, the Bruins, the Blackhawks, there is absolutely nothing that is preventing your hockey leadership group from acting with the same level of ruthlessness as Vegas to win.
The Leafs
and
should
they
be doing
do
that.
Not.
Now I know obviously like the Leafs have a ton on LTIR right now. Obviously they have Muzzin and they have Klingberg and Klingberg wasn't
what
a
what did the Leafs do and historically what has Carolina done that Vegas has not? As it pertains to trades.
That Vegas has not?
No. What have those two teams done with how they've managed trades at the deadline where Vegas has been like, nope, we're doing it.
They've clutched their pearls.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, do you want
Vegas has traded every single first round pick they've ever had.
Except for Brandon Brisson.
Exactly.
Or Brisson, sorry.
Like, and let's be fair, would either one of us have been shocked if he was in the hurdle deal?
No.
Like, that's kind of what I was expecting, honestly.
I want you to guess who the final guy, because you got most of them right. You got Voracek, you got Little. They also have Travis Boyd on there. I want you to guess who the final LTIR guy is for...
Is he in the National Hockey League?
Like, is he an active player?
Yeah.
Like, no, he'll never play again. It's one of those guys.
I have no
idea. Come on. I know you can do it.
I don't know. Oh, man. Is it like...
I know you can do it.
Is it Hossa?
No. But
okay, because that would be funny. They did have Hossa.
They
did. One point.
They had Hossa. They had Pronger. They had Datsyuk.
The fact that we can name all of this is like...
It might... No. Tampa had Seabrook.
Tampa had Seabrook.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can get it.
I don't...
There's a Vegas tie to it in the same way. Vegas did the same thing that the Coyotes did to him.
Oh, it's not Shipachev then.
No. First name, like, his first name has the same SH noise to it, though.
Oh, come what? On.
It's Shea Weber. They have Shea Weber.
What?
Yeah, on LTIR. For this
year. You should not be allowed to do this.
For 2 years after this one. At 7.857.
Okay, so here's the...
So why are you not mad at the Coyotes for doing that? They're committing tax fraud. Like, they're committing a financial crime, basically. But you know what? They're not, because you're allowed to do that. But if you're going to get pissed at Vegas for doing that in the pursuit of excellence, which is the entire reason why we watch and play this sport, you should be doubly pissed at the team that is trying to money launder guys who are in a retirement home right now.
You're literally like... I'm currently building something for a customer that's like helping them with like anti-money laundering, like as a non-hockey thing. And like, I'm like, this is money laundering. Like, what are we doing?
You are literally laundering the salary cap. Like, we should have that. This is like salary cap money laundering. You are taking money, which is that is dirty, which is, you know, a player that's never going to play again. And you're putting it through the machination of LTIR, the mechanism of LTIR, and they're trying to make it clean. And now you're cap compliant. You have a ton of space. It's crazy. I don't understand.
Fans are just pissed that their team isn't willing to do what Vegas is doing. If you like, look me in the eye right now. And tell me you would not have traded the equivalent, which would have been Fraser Minton, this year's first, and I don't know, they'd have to would have a roster player for Thomas Hertl if you were the Leafs. You absolutely would.
If it was Minton, yes. Cowan would have given me pause.
Maybe not for Hertl, but like if a superstar was available.
Like for Hanifin, knowing that he had a chance to actually resign in Toronto,
but he wasn't going to. So that's different. But if you think he did have a chance to resign,
absolutely, you pay that.
You're not even like if Boston calls and says we want to trade you Ullmark, I like you Easton Cowan, but I'm sorry that
I would push Minton over Cowan. Like I really like Cowan, but.
Once again, though.
Yes, but it
the
is.
The window is now.
Well, yeah. Like, so here's, so let me get in on the lease because. Here I am, and we're in Toronto, and we cover them, and Brad Drilling comes out on March 1st and says, we're going to do a bunch of stuff to be creative, and other teams are doing all this, even teams that are not Vegas.
Vegas got creative.
Like, Vegas got creative, but
Carolina
even,
got creative. They just waved, like, half their damn roster.
Exactly, but I think of even, like Winnipeg, a team that is, like, Chevy didn't make a trade for the first, like, 8 years of his time there, basically. Like, and so, but even they were, like... You know what? This is the time. Like this is the time of year. Let's friggin' swing for the fences and let's go get Sean Monahan and Tyler Toffoli. We gave up a first, a second, a third, all that. Who cares, man? We believe this team is good enough to win. Austin Matthews is going to score 70 goals this year.
The reality of the situation is if you can, a player that hasn't played tangible games in the National Hockey League, and that by that I mean like actually proven they can play in the NHL. Easton Cowan, you could be high on him. Yes. Fraser Minton, you can be high on him. They haven't played in the National Hockey League. So if you can get a Vezina goaltender, a top pairing defenseman for that player, you do it.
Absolutely.
Because you don't know what they're going to be at the NHL level. Fraser Minton is arguably at the height of his
Absolutely.
Value right
yes.
now. And so this is the difference between Toronto, similar to Carolina, and Vegas, is that Vegas goes, Zach Dean, he's got value. Ivan Barbashev is coming in because he helps us now.
Yeah, and he helped them win a Stanley Cup. And then he re-signed.
Exactly. So you, like, there are top four defensemen that are available. the fact that you are not going out and using your prospects are assets.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Vegas views them. That is the way you need to view them.
They're bargaining chips.
They're bargaining chips. Yep. When you're drafting, you're not drafting, this guy's going to play in our lineup. You're drafting the best assets,
mm-hmm.
which is why Carolina was able to acquire Gensel, is because they have done such a good job drafting that they have assets that other teams want.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about drafting for who's going to play for you. It's about drafting who is going to be the best player, because at some point, you're going to have to move prospects to get those players. And so, okay, in the summer, like New Jersey has a pretty decent prospect pool. They're going to be able to get Jacob Markstrom in the summer because they'll be able to use those prospects.
And let, if, you're if, in if your contending if Murray window. Edwards.
Why do you give a fuck about prospects?
And I also, like, why do you, even if you want to do that, okay, why do you give a shit about your first round pick this year? You got Minton in the second round, and the reason why you got him in the second round is because you traded a first to get off of Peter Mrazek with the intention of that you would have picked Fraser Minton in that first round if you were still there. And then you got Easton Cowan at the bottom end of the draft, basically, and he's been the biggest arguably been the biggest prospect riser in hockey.
He has been.
Yeah, like people were like, who the fuck is this guy? Who cares? Like this, you know, he had to go, he was sitting in the rafters with his family basically because no one expected him to go in the first round. He gets picked like 26th overall or whatever.
Now he's got a 31 game point
exactly
streak, Patrick Kane's record
exactly, and now he's like literally considered like, you know, a borderline blue chipper.
He is a blue chip prospect.
Yeah.
That's not a prospect you move unless you're getting somebody
exactly
like Thomas fucking Hurdle. But
I look at that and I go like, what, you have these guys and you showed that you were able to get these guys out either at the bottom end of the first round. And let's be clear, they could have gotten Easton Cowan in the second round. Like he would have
probably
still been
in
there.
The third round.
Probably in the third round. And you got these guys in lower rounds. This is what, like, I think about what the Stars are doing even. Like, all of their good players, basically, or good
outside
young
of
players.
Haskinen.
Outside of Haskinen. Were picked 23 or lower, right? Yeah. A lot of, and outside of Wyatt Johnston.
And Ottinger.
And Ottinger. Like, everyone else was a second rounder or below. And that gave them the sort of wherewithal to trade to trade these guys for Chris Tanev. The Leafs, they're looking at this 2024 first, which if they do what they want to do, will be, you know, in the 20s again, or in the high 20s again. You already have these guys in your system. What is the point? Like, if you can trade this pick for something that will actively help you win the Stanley Cup, break the longest championship drought in hockey history right now, why would you wait? And instead, they decide to get Connor Dewar, who's fine. He'll be okay. But they needed a top nine center, ideally a 2C. He's not doing that. And then you also traded Joel Edmondson and Ilya Lyubushkin, guys who are like, you know, whose charts,
you know,
are plastered with red.
Second line center though.
Thomas Hertl?
Yeah.
There you go. Like, and obviously,
like,
there
would you
been...
have been pissed off if they said we've traded Fraser Minton, our 2024 first, for?
Well, and they'd have to have more salary going out. Like, they'd
right,
have to,
so probably would have been.
Trying to think of like who that would even be. Like, even if they trade like Max Domi, you know, like he's making three. So
yeah.
You, like, for Thomas Hertl, I would have been like, hell yeah, man, he's here for six more years.
Yeah.
And,
what are we doing?
And at like $6 million with the cap or six point.
That is the difference between Vegas and every other team.
Yeah.
Is Vegas looks and says there is no game because they're like, based on every single piece of research and just numbers, late first round picks don't make it at the same clip. Like, you have a less than 50% chance of making.
Yeah.
For an NHL hockey player? Are you fucking kidding? Are you actually serious right now?
That's something I would like, not just an NHL hockey player, like an NHL hockey player that
an impact player
that will help you in a pursuit to win the Stanley Cup. Like, this is a nightmare for the Leafs. This has been horrible.
I understand not wanting to trade. Like, if you're San Jose, don't trade your first round pick. It's going to be a top five pick.
Yeah.
Don't do that. But you are guaranteed an impact player. And that's how Vegas looks at it, is we don't know if David Edstrom, who's a great prospect, is going to be as good as Thomas Hertl. We don't know if that first round pick is going to be as good as Thomas Hertl. We don't know if Zach Dean is going to be as good as Ivan Barbashev is right now. And we're in our cup window.
Mm-hmm.
So enough with the pearl clutching. And you know what? People might view us as like a revolving door, but guess what? We've got a nice shiny ring. And we're going to go for a repeat.
Hey, man, they'll likely have two. Like, this is, that Vegas team is fucking stacked.
Oh, they're
that
my is, team to beat now.
Like their weakness, like, even last year going in was goaltending. But Aiden Hill has proven that he can do it. Like, he can.
Well, and when your decor is Theodore Petrangelo, Hannafin Martinez, White Cloud Haig.
Yeah.
That's the best decor in the league.
Oh, without it.
So you'll
live. It's insane how good that decor is.
How many of those defensemen are better than other contenders? Like, basically, how many of Edmonton's six defensemen would play for Vegas on a nightly basis? Ekholm and Bouchard?
Like, literally just two.
Yeah. Okay. How many Leafs would play on a nightly basis? One, maybe two.
Okay, like, I want to go through Vegas's even forwards here,
but like, even like the Rangers, right? They're considered a contender in the East. The
you mentioned Martinez in that those four defensemen, right?
Yeah. Okay,
but I even look at like what Vegas has here. Like, right now their lines are Eichel with Barbashev and Marchessault, Carlson with Stevenson and Mantha, Nicholas Waugh with Paul Cotter and Michael Amadio, and then Byron Fraze. Good for him for sticking around, man, with Mason Morelli and Keegan Kolasar. So you can basically knock Morelli, Fraze, you know, everyone.
Those two are coming out when Stone and...
So actually, something just came through is that New Jersey did get Kaapo Kakko just now. They traded
Kaapo Kakkonen?
Kakkonen, not Kaapo.
I was going to say, there did no chance they make that trade with the Rangers.
They did get Vanecek for Kakkonen, basically straight up. Why do that now?
Why? What are you
it
doing?
It makes no sense.
So I love it. I just got a text from someone. What is New Jersey doing?
But you look at this now and you go, those, you basically replace in this, and obviously everything will reshuffle, but you replace Fraze, Morelli, and maybe even, you basically replace Byron Fraze and Mason Morelli with Thomas Hertl and Mark Stone, who's coming off IR.
Is that good?
That's insane.
That seems good, right?
Your top two forward lines are gonna have.
So Stone will be with
Jack Eichel, Mark Stone, Jonathan Marchessault, potentially Anthony Mantha, William Carlson, Thomas Hertl, Chandler Stevenson.
So Chandler Stevenson, here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna call it right now. Obviously Eichel 1C, Hertl 2C.
Yep.
Carlson 3C.
Okay.
And then Nick Waugh 4C. Stevenson speed on the wing. Then you're gonna have you're basically some machination of Stone, Marchessault, Hertl, what is it, Carlson?
Carlson's in the center spot.
In 3C, yeah. So like, obviously Hertl play, unless you want to play Hertl on the wing. You could, and this is the thing with Hertl, is you can load up your top six or you can balance it in a top nine.
Mm-hmm.
That power play, though, is going to be disgusting.
It's going to be insane.
It's going to be Mark Stone, Jonathan Marchessault, Jack Eichel, Thomas Hertl, and Shea Theodore. Or Petrangelo. Whichever one you want.
Yeah, and then
like, there's a chance. Okay, Canada is... The Olympics are in 2 years. 2 years. Okay. Eichel will be playing for the Americans. Stone, probably for the Canadians. Theodore Petrangelo, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like...
Dude, Aiden Hill will probably be their starting goalie. Canada.
Hertl will be playing for the Czechs.
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy.
Half their team is going to the Olympics.
Like, you think about it, we go, okay, well, the Leafs, I guess.
Hannafin probably for the Americans, yeah, too.
So we go, okay, well, at least, like, with the Leafs, they got Labushkin to be their 7th D. You know who's going to be Vegas' 7th D? Freaking Nick Haig. That's insane.
Fuck.
He's going to be, because it's going to be.
He would literally be in the Leafs top four.
Yeah, because it's Hannafin Petrangelo right now. And then basically you're going to replace McNabb.
Theodore and...
Because right now it's Theodore and McNabb, but you're going to replace McNabb with Martinez when he comes back. And then you're going to have White Cloud and...
White Cloud and Haig. Bruce Cassidy loves Nick Haig. So I could see
Then Zach White Cloud's going to be your 7th D.
No, I think McNabb will be the 7th D.
Really?
Yeah, I think McNabb will be the 7th
D. So Braden McNabb is your 7th D.
That's...
Are you kidding me? Like, this is a stacked team, and they don't have any, like, and oh, let's say Aiden Hill gets hurt. Oh, no. Logan Thompson.
Logan!
Like a guy who, like, was incredible until he got hurt last year, and was still being very good this year.
The thing is
they're
going to end up giving up like 20 shots a game. Like, they're just not.
That's
yeah,
a great
like,
way to win the Stanley
literally
Cup.
Literally just not going to give up.
I'm so
And Bruce
high.
Cassidy plays a system that is very conducive to defensive hockey. Like, this is just a match made in heaven.
The Toronto Maple Leafs should have done this. The New York Rangers should have done this.
The Carolina Hurricanes should have done this.
I mean, like, they can afford it with their owner, but their owner is notoriously penny-pinchy so whatever. But, like, the Boston Bruins should have done this.
The Rangers, the Bruins, and the Leafs have zero excuse.
Yeah. Like, there is no reason why the Leafs shouldn't have added...
But at least they
one
didn't,
of these guys that went to Vegas,
at
basically.
At least they didn't trade a first-round pick for David Savard. At least I didn't have to.
No one traded for David Savard
Thank
today.
Thank God.
Like, but it's.
I actually would have lost it.
For current day David Savard?
I would have lost it.
Yeah.
Considering what the prices
Considering
were.
Considering Matt Dumba went for
a fifth
in 2027.
I guarantee you that's why they didn't trade Savard, is because they didn't like what the prices were. But once again, like, Vegas gets all these players because they're not afraid of trading their prospects out. They understand those prospects are maybes.
And they have
NHL
faith in their
players,
scouting staff to replace them, too.
Yeah, NHL players are not maybes. Thomas Hertl, mm-hmm. not a maybe. Yes. Noah Hanifin, not a maybe. Like, this whole thing, like, would you trade Fraser Minton or Carolina, like, Scott Morrow for Pavel Buchnevich? Yes!
Absolutely.
Because Pavel Buchnevich is a first-line player in the National Hockey League, and those guys haven't even proven they can play in the NHL yet. What are you talking about?
Pavel Buchnevich is a borderline point-per-game winger with another year of control under his belt. Like, I would drive Fraser Minton to the airport in a rickshaw if that was there. I would pedal my way all the way to Mississauga to the airport in a little rickshaw. With him in the back.
Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, this should you trade Fraser Minton for Matt Dumba? No.
Absolutely not. No, but if it's worth it, yes. And it just seems like they
didn't. I saw Canucks fans annoyed because Tyler Toffoli went for a second and a third, and they're like, why couldn't have we done that? And it's like, that's a fair question to ask.
Absolutely, that's a fair question.
Because Vancouver's wingers are bad.
Yeah, well,
bad.
That is definitely a fair question to ask, especially because everyone was viewing Toffoli as their Gensel insurance, and then Gensel went to the Carolina.
They did nothing, eh?
Vancouver did nothing, and that's look. They got Lindholm,
who hasn't been good.
No,
so much so that he popped up in trade rumors,
which was nuts. That was nuts.
That was Elias Pettersson insurance.
Also, like that was credit to you, man, because I never heard anything about that. You mentioned that on Monday's podcast, and then it was reported by CJ, and everyone went what? And I was like,
no leaks though.
No leaks. No, you need
no leaks.
Very big, very strong internal culture. Anyway, yeah. So that I guess that brings it. We're over an hour, so that brings us to the end of the show. But yeah, what a crazy
Basically,
deadline.
Don't clutch your pearls if you want to win the cup.
If you know you got to risk it to get the biscuit. You know that's what we say, and you got to do that. Vegas certainly did, but they made some pretty calculated risks, which is good. Anyway, we've reached the end of the podcast, so you can obviously subscribe on YouTube on. Any podcatcher you can think of, you know, follow us on Twitch, on Instagram, on Twitter, anywhere, any social media platform except for like Facebook, we are there. You can also donate to Jumpstart, our charity of choice. Jumpstart helps economically disadvantaged children play team sports, which is an extremely, extremely valuable and a cause that is close to our hearts. So all the descriptions of where to donate will be in our episode description. All the links as well below. And hope your team didn't totally blow it at the deadline. We will be back in your ears and in your eyes and faces, I guess, on Monday.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.